Good evening. I am Pastor Craig Sifa, serving currently at the Arbor United Methodist down the road, and just grateful to have the opportunity to be here with you all. My daughter Ariana is back here as well, and all the way here she was wondering, is there going to be a bounce house? Because she knows this church is the VBS church, and every time we drive by, that's the VBS church. So I'm thankful for the ministry of Enon and Northgate and the partnership that we have with these churches and all that they are able to do, all that we are able to do together for our kids and for our community. I'm going to be sharing tonight an unusual scripture for Thanksgiving, Psalm 137. I also record all my messages. They'll be online. You can check out the Arbor's Facebook page and it'll be linked there. So if you have friends that need this message, by all means. But let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come to this Thanksgiving celebration, help us to be mindful of those in our lives, maybe those in our midst, who struggle to be thankful. Those who wonder, how can we sing the Lord's songs in a place of darkness and despair? Fill us with hope. Fill us with joy. And sow the seeds of gratitude deep into our hearts and souls. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. And so I'm going to read from Psalm 137 in the Common English translation. Alongside Babylon's streams, we sat down, crying because we remembered Zion. We hung up our lyres in the trees and our harps, and because our captors had asked us to sing. Our tormentors requested songs of joy. Sing us a song about Zion, they said. But how could we possibly sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Jerusalem, if I forget you, let my strong hand wither. Let my tongue stick to the roof of my mouth. If I don't remember you, if I don't make Jerusalem my greatest joy, Lord, remember what the Edomites did on Jerusalem's dark day. Rip it down. Rip it down. All the way to its foundations, they yelled. Oh, daughter Babylon, you destroyer, a blessing on the one who pays you back the very deed that you did to us, a blessing on the one who seizes your children and smashes them against the rock. This is the word of God for the people of God. Now, I know what some of you are thinking. This crazy Methodist pastor comes in, and first thing, he gets the wrong scripture, right? Because that does not sound like a very thankful passage. In fact, it's an understandable mistake, because if we just go one psalm earlier, we get a wonderful Thanksgiving psalm, 136. Give thanks to the Lord, because he is good. God's faithful love endures forever. Give thanks to God over and over and over again. 14 times in just 20-some-odd verses, we get this command of giving thanks to the Lord. And so let's back up. Let's just read that psalm. The truth is, there's plenty of scriptures that we could give for Thanksgiving. Plenty of commands throughout the Bible. We could go to the New Testament. We could read Philippians 4:6. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Colossians 2:7. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up in him, established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Colossians 3, beginning in 16, let the word of Christ richly dwell in you with all wisdom and teaching, admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord, giving thanks through God the Father. And then, of course, 1 Thessalonians 5:16-18, rejoice always, pray without ceasing, and in everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you. We could keep going with scripture after scripture after scripture that remind us that gratitude should be natural for us as Christians. Scripture commands us to be thankful in all circumstances, and so that should be the end of the story, except when it isn't. You see, it's easy for somebody to just say, you should just be thankful. Somebody going through a hard time and they say, you know, you should be thankful. You got it better off than so many other people. And all that really does is make us feel guilty. And sometimes it's about as foolish as saying, you know what, you just need to read the instructions. And you're telling that to a four-year-old or pretty much any grown man. It's just an absurdity to say, just read the instructions. Just figure it out. That's fine. Sometimes this command to be thankful feels the same way. It just feels absurd. It feels impossible. Some people can barely muster up the strength to get out of bed in the morning, let alone be grateful and thankful in the circumstances that they're facing. And so if you're here tonight or you're listening online and you're struggling with that, if you want to be thankful, you know Thanksgiving's coming, you know everybody's going to ask, hey, what are you thankful for? And you just feel, oh, I can't answer that one more time. Know this, you are not alone. Depression rates this time of year are higher than any other time because, at least in part, there is such a high expectation that we're supposed to put on a face and everything's supposed to be okay. Because nobody wants to deal with the mess inside of us. Second thing I want you to know is that there's nothing wrong with you. Now, I've heard some preachers say that in light of all these commands in Scripture to be thankful, to be grateful in all circumstances, that therefore, if you don't feel thankful in any given moment, you are living in sin. I actually heard a sermon like that this week online. It disturbed me, and I'm not here to argue with my colleagues. I understand that God wants us to be grateful, but I also think that God is more gracious than that. I think God meets us wherever we are. I believe in a God who weeps with Mary and Martha at the grave of Lazarus. I believe in a God who walks with us through life's tragedies and griefs, who shoulders our burdens and whose shoulders are broad enough to handle our complaints and our anger and our frustration and whatever else we may be feeling that we can bring to God. I think the Thanksgiving holiday is like one of those commands in Scripture. It tells us you have to be thankful. We sit around the table and we ask, what are you thankful for? And everybody sort of mumbles a few words about, oh, well, you know, I'm thankful for my mom and dad, and I'm thankful for my friends, and, you know, I'm thankful for this meal. And, you know, some are truly grateful, and that's a wonderful thing, but there are some people around that table who are saying it through gritted teeth and rolled eyes, who really, quite frankly, just can't wait to get this whole prayer time over with so we can move on with the meal and get to our football game or our nap. That's the only priority for some. And we can't guilt somebody into feeling thankful, because gratefulness needs to come from the depths of our heart. And so how do we deal with Thanksgiving or any time of year when we struggle to be genuinely thankful? When all we can do is offer the obligatory words of thanks around the table, but it's just not bubbling up within us. Sometimes it just doesn't come naturally. And so how do we sing the Lord's songs, the songs of praise, when it's just so hard to sing, when we're just mouthing the words? That's the reason I began with Psalm 137. Because Psalm 137 is a story of the people of God who have lost everything. It's hard for them to be thankful. It's hard for them to sing the Lord's songs. They've watched everything they know be destroyed. Their lives have fallen apart. The temple of God has been torn down and destroyed and burned to the ground. Their city gone. They've been cast out to a foreign land, to Babylon. And there their tormentors, those who have captured them, are saying, hey, where's your God now? In these circumstances that you are in, you have been defeated. You have been conquered. The world has won. We, Babylon, are more powerful. Where is your God now? Sing us his songs of praise. Sing about how great he is. And they're hanging up their instruments and saying, are you kidding me? How can we sing about how great God is when God has allowed us to be in this horrible circumstance? They're overwhelmed and they're filled with this vengeful spirit, even to the point of that horrible, appalling verse of vengeance of saying, God, just we pray that you would slaughter their children and dash them against the rocks. We don't care. And from a modern sensibility, we say that's just horrible. How could anybody pray that? But we can at least empathize with the level of anger and vengeance and frustration that they are expressing here against their enemies, those who have destroyed everything. And God's people cry out. They say, how can we sing the Lord's song on foreign soil? Friends, we live on foreign soil. We live in a place where the kingdom of God is not yet fully realized. and we live in a sinful and broken world, it is sometimes hard to sing the songs of the Lord, even if we're not altogether willing to admit it. Maybe there's somebody here tonight who we were singing earlier these songs of praise and thanksgiving, and we're just kind of mouthing the words, putting heads down, hoping nobody notices that we're not really singing. We just don't feel it. We try to put on a happy face for our family and friends, and it's just not there. As soon as your head hits the pillow at night, you just feel like a broken shell. We feel like those people by the rivers of Babylon. We keep praying and praying and praying, and eventually we wonder, is God even listening? And then we stop praying altogether. We've all been there at some point. Now there are those who are truly grateful. Those who are here tonight with a joyful heart, life is going wonderful, and you're looking forward to the Christmas season, you're praising God, you're singing the songs, you fall asleep counting your blessings, and this is a wonderful place to be. This is where we should be as God's people, to be grateful in all circumstances. Even in those things that are going wrong in our lives, there are those who can say, bless the Lord, because He is good and His faithful love endures forever and carries me through whatever I'm facing in life. But there are others around us. People that will be sitting at our Thanksgiving tables. People that we might encounter at work this week or in our communities or maybe even in our own homes. And they're saying, how can I sing the Lord's songs? How can I praise God in the midst of all this? Anna McDonald reminds us of just a few of the people who don't fit into our perfect picture of Thanksgiving. Does our vision of the Thanksgiving table include, for example, Pam, the mission-minded church pillar who recently diagnosed with cancer and racked with pain? She can't get out of bed, much less join the church on Sunday morning. Does our vision of a perfect Thanksgiving include Wade, that gentle 96-year-old whose body is willing but whose mind can't remember your name or the fact that he asked you the same question 5 times in the last 8 minutes? And how do we ignore Jill, the single woman who miscarried a year ago, but she's too ashamed to tell anybody, even though her grief is still raw and she doubles over when people smile around her, isolating her? Do we conveniently neglect the congregations in places like Syria, whose people and places of worship are being annihilated? How do we sing the Lord's songs when our world's violence makes any thought of even one peaceful Sabbath a pipe dream? When you're in such a dark place that you wish death on somebody, maybe even yourself. When our people in our communities are broken, divided by illness, by grief, by spite, by sheer vengeance. When your own church's communion, much less the world's, seems impossible because of all of the ways that we are divided. How indeed then can we sing the Lord's songs of thanks? Melanie Beatty reminds us of the beauty and the power of gratitude, even in times like this. Gratitude, she says, unlocks the fullness of life. It turns what we have into enough and more. It turns denial into acceptance, chaos to order, confusion to clarity. It turns a meal into a feast, a house into a home, a stranger into a friend. Gratitude turns problems into gifts, failures into success, the unexpected into perfect timing, and mistakes into important events. Gratitude can turn an existence into real life and disconnected situations into important lessons. Gratitude makes sense of our past, gives us peace for today, and creates a vision for tomorrow. There is no question that gratitude is a good and right place for us to be. There's no question that a thankful heart can bring healing and can give us the abundant life that Jesus promised. But how do we find this gratitude? How do we sing the Lord's songs? Sometimes we think of stories like David and Goliath. When we look at our tough circumstances, we look at those giants in our lives. And as Dr. Sandra Richter says, we have to get to the point where we, like David, say, you know what, it doesn't matter how big my problem is. My God is bigger. And those are great times. We need to remember those big things. But cultivating a spirit of gratitude in our everyday lives doesn't always mean looking past our problems, pretending they're non-existent, and trying to see God out there somewhere. Ironically, Jesus didn't spend a whole lot of time talking and teaching about the big stories, the times when Israel should be thankful. He didn't spend a lot of time, other than at Passover, talking about the Exodus and the way the people were freed. He didn't spend a lot of time talking about stories like David and Goliath and all those big moments where God showed up. You know what Jesus talked about? He talked about all those little things in life that seem so insignificant. He knows that sometimes those stories, when we can be thankful of what God has done, those big things God has done, either in our lives or in somebody else's life or in history, sometimes those stories just seem so distant, so out there, that they don't sink into our hearts. And so Jesus spends time telling stories about the ordinary things that we overlook. You see, he shows us about a God who cares for the flowers and for the sparrows. He shows us the God of the yeast and the mustard seed, who can move the mountains. Jesus shows us the God of a little boy's lunch that can feed 5,000 people. Or the God of a tiny widow's offering all she had, so small and yet so significant. Jesus shows us the God who offers a cup of water to a thirsty soul. Jesus shows us the God who risks everything to care for his enemies. He shows us that God can come through an unwed teenage mother and a baby in a feeding trough, and through him can bring the whole world back home. Sometimes it's difficult to be thankful because we don't see God doing the big things in our lives. We don't see God moving mountains and slaying giants. But in our busyness, we lose sight of all these little things, all these ways that God is showing up in the mundane tasks of our lives. This is what Brother Lawrence meant in his book, Practicing the Presence of God, when he in the monastery talks about experiencing God the most when he's washing the dishes. Now, how many of you go home to wash the dishes and say, "Hey, it's time for worship. I'm excited. Let me pull out my hymnal and put it right here on the sink and start singing"? But Brother Lawrence experienced this. He said the time of business, of work, of all these mundane tasks and chores is no different for me than the time of prayer. He says, in the noise and the clatter of my kitchen, while several persons are at the same time calling me from so many different directions for different things, I possess God in as great tranquility as if I were on my knees before the Blessed Sacrament at Holy Communion. How can this be? Sometimes being thankful requires us to be in community. That's why we gather together tonight. Because the task of cultivating a constant awareness of God's presence isn't something we can do alone. We need to see it in each other. We need to share our stories of how God is showing up in all these little ordinary ways. As a church, we come and we can sing together, and we can uphold one another when our faith is too weak. When someone's prayers are just empty, we know there's somebody else praying for us. When we don't feel like we can trust God, we know there's somebody else trusting in God on our behalf. And when our faith is strong, we can trust in God for someone else. And we can all lift them up in prayer. Even in the midst of violence and suffering, we must sing. We must sing in the face of those who taunt us, those who make fun of us, those who mock us, those who we consider enemies. We must keep singing, even when it seems like God is not present. Even when we stand in the fire and we don't know if we're going to make it out alive. We sing and we pray and we give thanks, like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, because we know, guess what? There's somebody else in the fire with us, no matter what that fire may look like. The writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is the reality of what we hope for, the proof of what we don't see. Faith in the fact that God is present in the everyday muck of our lives is what enables us to be thankful, because we know Christ has already won the victory. And so when we gather around the communion table with one another, we enter into the darkest places of the human soul. We're reminded of the darkest evil that ever befell the world, when the innocent Son of God was nailed to a cross. And yet in that place of deep darkness and evil and the sinfulness of all humankind placed upon his body, even through all of that darkness, the light of Christ shines. And it puts forth a new song in our hearts. A song of forgiveness that echoes from the cross and even from the grave. A song of praise and glory to the resurrection and the life which cannot be silenced. And so when we find ourselves in those dark places, when we seem to be in situations where it's impossible to be thankful, where we just can't bear one more person asking us, hey, what are you thankful for today? Or this year? Because this has been one heck of a year. When we can't find our voice, when we can't sing the songs of praise, when our cracked and broken cries are not strong enough to join in the chorus of the saints, that is when we need to come together. That is when we need to rely on one another's strength and faith for us. That is when we need to hear the stories and listen to the stories and look for stories in our own lives of those little places where God is showing up, where God is present in the darkness and in the fire. And so, we cultivate this spirit of gratitude and thanksgiving, and we reflect God's light in the darkness, so that, as Anna MacDonald says, we may sing into the death-ridden places of our world. That the absence of memory and identity into broken relationships, that we may sing into barren towns and into bottle-strewn back alleys, that we may sing under overpasses and down empty streets, that we may sing despite separation and loss and violence and pain, that we can sing because Christ abolished death, the darkest place of all. And so how can we sing the songs of thanksgiving and praise? We gather together and raise our voices as one. We sing for those who cannot sing. And we sing until the song becomes part of our soul. For God has given us a song that is eternal. And a love that cannot be quenched by the darkness around us. And so let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you have called us to give thanks. For you are good and your faithful love endures forever. And we thank you that we have so many examples in Scripture of people who struggled to do that. Of people who didn't always have a smile on their face. Of people whose lives weren't always perfect. In fact, just the opposite. So many people, including your own son, who faced dramatic suffering. And yet found you in all those little things, in all those little ordinary ways. And so help us to pay attention in our moments of greatest despair or when someone around us is in despair. Help us to just stop and notice and say thank you. Help us to point someone else to those little things and say, hey, look. Look at that. That's God. He's here. And he never left. Thank you that you have never left or forsaken us. That you walk with us and that your grace sustains us. For this, let us be truly grateful. In Jesus' precious name.